Marty, do you have your umbrella ready to go?
I do, but I plan to not get out there in it.
Well, that's a smart thing to do because after last Friday, we know that some areas up by the northwestern part of the county, County Line Road and in McCormick's Creek and Wolf, what was the Wolf? I can't remember the Wolf Run, Wolf.
It's called Wolf Mountain Road. As a matter of fact, my mother-in-law was raised on Wolf Mountain Road many decades ago. She's been gone a long time, but I remember driving out there in, it's a very rural area, trying to find the home where she was raised. But when you look at the videos of what happened on Wolf Mountain Road, my goodness, they're just, how on earth people survived that? And not one death there. Now, there was over in McCormick's Creek part. That
sadly,
was two
right?
Deaths there. That was so horrible. But to be clear, if you look at the videos from Wolf Mountain Road, you just can't imagine how anybody could have survived. But and there were people trying to get there and to get people out and to get them to help. But I've not heard of one death there. But I want to say that part of county government, of course, is our assessor. And you might not even think about a county assessor being a part of the response after a major event like this. But that's where she was. She and her team were out on Wolf Mountain Road yesterday to meet with folks and to take pictures and to make sure that she's entering into the system reductions on taxes that will be available for the following year. And not having anything having to do with structures because the structures are just gone. So she's removing all of that.
Amazing.
There on Wolf Mountain Road. And she wants to make sure that anybody who's suffered loss to their structures will make sure that they let the assessor's office know because it's impossible for her to find everyone. Now, that doesn't mean if a tree came down, they can't cover that or anything of that sort. But if you have damage to a structure or loss of a structure, then please let the county assessor know that so those adjustments can be made. Now, the regrettable part is that can't change for what your tax bill is that you're going to be getting. Treasurer said she was going to send those tax bills out on April 11th. But that's already in motion, so that'll happen, and those bills will go out. But what Assessor Sharp is going to make certain is that the adjustments will be made for the following year, so the taxes that people will be paying for next year will be adjusted down. And she just said it's unbelievable to even comprehend the kind of destruction that she saw there on Wolf Mountain Road.
And as you mentioned, thankfully, no fatalities or major injuries were reported. Sounds like the Red Cross is still in that area, Marty, helping out if people need services as well.
Right. And I think also that you'll see if people have concerns about trying to find a spot with the basement that some of the churches there in Steinsville, I saw one notice of a church was going to stay open so that people could go to the basement areas where they might feel safer. You know, not everybody has a basement.
I don't have one. I've been telling that story all week. No, I no thanks.
You know, not everyone wants a basement, but I am very, very grateful for mine. And you've heard me say over the years the kind of problems I've had with that basement. And I have to say, I'm afraid to even say it for fear of.
Don't do it. Don't jinx it. Don't jinx it.
No, but
it's dry. Anyway. It's dry below ground at Marty's house. That's very good.
Yeah.
But not everybody is, Marty. And again, if a tree did fall on your house and you need tarps or things like that, hopefully the Red Cross has a few of those to help too.
Well, let's hope. And I don't know how long all of that will hold out. You know, you only have so many tarps. But if you find that you need anything that you don't have the finances for, make certain that you reach out for help, because there's a lot of help out there and people want to be able to help.
Can township trustees help out with that?
Well, absolutely. If they cannot, they will know where to send you for that kind of assistance, whether it be for housing or utilities or whatever your situation is. They have the training to be able to determine where to help and how to help people out. Now, the problem is that when you get those very rural areas, you might not have a full-time, you know, office open for that the trustee in those rural areas, whereas like in Richland Township, of course, you've got, you know, a full staff. But if you're out there in Bean Blossom, I don't know whether they have, you know, an office that is open every day. But you know what? I'm sure they can be reached by phone. And if you cannot reach them, then just call one of the other township trustee's office, and they will assist you on how and where to get assistance. Right now, I think that there's so many. We are the kind of community, and especially in the rural areas, they have family members, they have community members, they all know who it is that needs help, and they're all just scrambling to make sure that they are helping in every way they can, including making sure there's meals available and so forth. So once again, we're blessed to live in this wonderful community, and I remember when the tornado hit in Ellisville, and we were going door to door and working with our senior citizens and senior citizens housing, because of course there was no electricity there for however many days. So I'm sure that there'll be lots of updates going on. That I just think right now, I think the people who experienced that loss this past week, they're really many of them very concerned today. And waiting for it, because they've been told it could be a worse situation today. Now, so far it's not been, but the day is not over. So I know that there's a lot of people that are very concerned and cautious and making sure they have a plan and where to go.
Yeah, I think that's the smartest part, because that takes a little of the anxiety off your plate if you have a plan and you're ready to roll at a moment's notice. We've learned this week that the poor people in Sullivan County had about 22 minutes. And thankfully, we've been pointing out to today's weather for the last few days, so people are aware of it. But you're right, these things can form and get together quickly. We haven't seen perhaps the watches and warnings that would suggest that could happen, but you're right. We can't wish it away. It doesn't work that way.
No, and you know, if you live way out in a rural area, you might not hear a siren, a tornado siren or whatever. I can hear it here because I'm nearby one. But if you're in a rural area, you might not hear that. And, of course, we have ways that you can get that on your cell phone or whatever, but you might not even have good cell reception
up
there.
Yeah, so we got to do word of mouth. We got to keep everybody weather aware just in case. And if we can save anybody from being injured or stuck or damaged or even killed, I mean, that's all we're trying to do.
What we're hearing over and over again, that the people who did not have a lower level, if they were going to an interior room and in that bathtub, there's so many have said they survived because they went to the bathroom and then like pulled something over them, and that was the safest place they could find in their home. But you need to try to stay away from any kind of glass movement. But that's part of what I had heard from the people that survived on Wolf Mountain Road. There's no rhyme or reason to this, and you cannot control where a tornado is going to go.
No, you can't, but you have to be prepared, and you have to pass it along to those in our circles who maybe don't pay attention as much or maybe are in different spots. Anything we can do to help, we will try to do that. Marty Hawk helps us every Wednesday as she joins us, Monroe County Councilwoman Marty Hawk. And I saw on the old internet today, women's basketball. It's Indiana Women's Basketball Day in Monroe County. So I guess the Monroe County Commissioners have been busy today.
Right, they certainly were, and that was a great celebration for women's basketball. And I'm telling you, even so many of my classmates, they were going to all the games. Like for the past two or three years, they've gone to all of the games. And of course, with my Meniere's, I couldn't go along because I can't do the bleachers. But I was so excited for my friends because they would go and they would take snapshots and pick, then they feel like they really know these women that are on the team. They feel like they're, you know, personally connected. So it's been an exciting time for IU, but also for all the locals who are so excited for that. So, yes, I mean, it was a great celebration today. And then, of course, we went from the celebration into more problems, as seems to be in county government. As you might have seen, there was a discussion with the sheriff's department not feeling like it was fully transparent the way the process was used for a committee to recommend what group, the design group for the jail. And you know what? It seems to me there's a lot of this that had, for years and years, county government, it appears, had been, oh, they have appointed a committee. Well, the committee really doesn't have any kind of real authority to do anything. Maybe the commissioners are saying, well, we'll just have these people come and sit down and have a conversation and send us their advice. That may be coming back to, they may be rethinking that because these committees are coming back going, oh, wait, where's the proof of the vote? Where's the minutes? Where's the whatever? Because they're accustomed to seeing the way the county council operates. They know who's in attendance at the meeting. They can see the roll call on the vote, and they can see the agenda, and that's all a part of the way that works. But if somebody just puts together a committee and there's no real authorization behind it, now it depends on how it's put together, because if it's set in such a way that they are required to make recommendations and so forth, like our personnel administrative committee, then you have to be there in person or do it on Zoom, and you can only miss so many meetings, and there has to be a minutes taken and the votes taken and so forth, and that's all been recorded.
That's by law, though, correct?
You're right, but then it depends on how that committee is put together, because you don't have to have a personnel committee. So it depends on how it was established as to how much of that you really have to follow. So there may be a whole new look, a whole new set of eyes saying, oh, maybe we don't want to have as many committees and commissions and whatever, because then people really believe that they have some skin in the game, and I do not blame them for that. They think that there's a reason if they put together and give their time to sit on a committee, just like the CJRC committee. People really believe that if they're going to spend the time, they want to see some, you know, recognition of their time. So this is all things that others will work out, but it's regrettable that there's this, what I see is a lack of trust at this point.
Yeah, it seems like a big disconnect between, especially the sheriff. I mean, every couple of weeks he's just writing letters and emails saying, now what's going on now? I don't want to put any words in his mouth. That's not what I'm trying to do here, but it just seems like not everybody's on the same page moving forward.
Well, and you know, sometimes if you've had a bad history startup of a working relationship and you see that it wasn't working well to begin with, then that escalates. And so everybody needs to just get back on page here and try to move forward. But if you have, if there's reasons why the lack of trust has, it's been really challenged, then we can see these kinds of things happen, and we have to make very certain that everything we do and say is in a way that that the public can know it and be responsible to the public, because this isn't our business, it's the public's business.
I think that's what gets lost in this. It's, you know, we're not what's best for everyone, and everyone is the public. That's how this is gets right. lost in the shuffle. Okay, so where are we? There was a study. Some people went to Arizona. Some people participated in the study. I help me out.
Right. Well, for instance, the county council voted on whether or not to support something that was going to be less than 400 beds and had to be like near services, et cetera, et cetera. And I wasn't going to support that because I want to see how many beds for males, how many for females, how many for mental health, how many that needs to maybe be isolation because of whatever kind of a, you know, illness they might have. How many in emergency care? I mean, break it down into how many beds that's going to be needed for each of those things. Don't just throw out a 400-bed number, because that's not that doesn't fix it. It really doesn't. So I think that will that's still not been decided. I know that the group, the design group that they have hired assist is supposed to be out helping them look at property. Once they've found a property they want to look at, then the design group will take a look at how the topography is and whether or not it's an appropriate spot to be. Once again, it's still going to be the county commissioner's decision. They could have 40 committees, and it'll still be the county council, county commissioner's decision, along with the county council, because the county commissioners, they can make decisions about contracts or something, but the county council has to be able, we're the fiscal body. So the commissioners can't do it without the fiscal body giving them, and it's not our money, it's the people's money, giving them permission to use that. You know, there was something else that I voted against at one of the fairly recent meetings having to do with the syringe program. And if you'll notice that there is an article now that it just came out in the last hour, I think it was, where the Chamber of Commerce CEO Eric Stumore spoke to that syringe program and spoke last night at the city council meeting because he was, describing that we had a $25,000 appropriation by the Monroe County Council to purchase the syringes. And he's saying, like what I have been saying, that when we were first presented with the syringe program, it was supposed to be a syringe exchange. They get one, they bring one back. But it's no longer that. It's just handing them out. And so it is not as it once had started out. And so he has entered here, he's learned that last year, 265,000 syringes were distributed with that grant.
But none were returned.
But only 708 were returned, which is more than what I thought it would be.
Right.
I
didn't understand this program from the beginning, because the syringe that you're passing out is not going to help any good decisions be made. It's like putting those boxes up, like, oh, okay, I've just gone somewhere else, and now I'm going to be responsible and put my needle away. I mean, it's just...
Right, that's
the whole
You've
thing.
You've already determined that you're not going to be responsible for your health by using this.
Right, so let's
with,
put a box up that no one uses. Let's put a program in no one uses. It's just... We're just kind of trying things. Is that the way to look at it? We're trying these things.
Well, I guess for one thing, to anybody who thinks that they're going to spend more money on more boxes is
no.
going to fix it, that isn't going to fix it. And I'm hearing this from more than one area where they're thinking, well, let's educate people on how important it is to use these boxes. It's not going
education. No. We've that ship has sailed. I don't know what the answer. Spoonmore will be on Monday. I'll get into more of this with him on Monday. He'll join
us
at 3:35.
Well, I can just encourage everyone to understand. It's got to start with our youth. because once they get hooked on some of these really horrendous drugs, it is hard to get it turned around. Let's try to keep our children away from that, and that means we've got to stop this influx of the criminal transients who seem to be causing this to explode.
Maybe we should buy some signs that say no transients and put them up everywhere.
Yeah, that can.
Or my favorite one, like where the where there's a deer crossing sign. Well, just move the sign if you don't want the deer crossing there to be there.
Right. Look at the deaths, the opioid deaths doubled in 1 year's time. So I'm just saying it is not.
The resources should be allocated in different directions. We can make fun and laugh and do all that we want. We can. But they just, if you're throwing bad money after bad money, well, you're just throwing bad money after bad money.
And it's not going to help it.
No, it's not. Is someone going to say, hey, we did this here, look, and then it didn't do it? No one puts the results up. They just say, here's what we did. But you have to have results. You have to have results when you're dealing with money. And if people don't want to show those results, well then I can be critical and then I can be smart alecky. And I don't care if people like it or not. That's not where I'm going with that. But that's the point. The point is, you've tried it; it hasn't worked. So let's stop trying it again.
Well, part of what I had indicated on the when you're talking about we need to see proof of what works and what doesn't. When they were discussing this money for the Housing First or the, I forget what the name of it is now, and I didn't vote in favor of that because I want to see a budget, not just, okay, that, you know, million two's gone, what exactly, how much should be spent on personnel, what on programs, whatever. I want to see a budget and how much has been spent out of the dollars that they have received. Let's look at the flow of money and see how many housing starts we've seen or how it is working, because this is public dollars. I don't care if it came from those grant dollars. They is still public dollars. And we should always look at what is the budget that, exactly. What do you have proposed to do with this money? Not just general, you know, some kind of generalized, we want to make the world better. How much will be used on these different things? I think it's important that we know that.
I agree,
and
Marty.
It's a shame on us if we don't ask for it.
Right. Oh, well. I say that whimsically, not the show must go on. The show will go on. And next Wednesday, as April, we start tuning it up and ready to go. We hope to see what on the jail. Are we going anywhere with the jail? Now that the jail's front and center, I hear nothing about the convention center. We've got early voting going on. We've got a primary that's coming up in less than 4 weeks. There's lots of things to talk about. Will you come back next Wednesday and help me stay within the yellow lines?
I will, and I'll tell you, the state is just driving us crazy with all the. That was like 74 amendments for Senate Bill 419, having to do with how to tax us or how not to tax us.
Is that
so
pork? What is that? What is that?
Like,
pork? We're just going to you'll have to put that on your list for next Wednesday, so I can understand how 74 amendments. Gee whiz. Okay.
And how can you possibly have enough time to watch that and the city council and the county council and the county commissioners? And it's like, hello, wake up and tell me it's over.
Yep, you've cracked the code. You do everything at once and they can't slow it down, then things get going. And that's how things get through and things work. And that's the system until we as people decide to change it.
I thank you for the opportunity to talk about it.
Thanks, Marty. Always a great job, and we'll get caught up with you next Wednesday. Be safe, be dry, and we'll do it next week.
Okay, bye-bye.